wizard, Vanagloshi growled. I grow weary of this. I have come to honor the exchange of prisoners. Do not force me to take what I want.
Just a few more steps, and it would be in position. My legs were shaking. My hands were shaking. I stared at them in shock for a second and realized that I was terrified. The mind specter of the skinwalker hammered at the doors of my thoughts and raked savagely at my concentration. I remembered the havoc it had wrought, the lives it had taken, and how easily it had avoided or overcome every threat that had been sent its way. Anything less than a flawless execution of the spell could cost my brother his life. What if the skinwalker was good enough to sense it coming? What if I misjudged the amount of force I needed to use? What if I missed? I wasn't even using a tool to help me focus the power, and my control was a little shaky on the best of days. What about the seconds after the spell? Even if I managed to do it right, it would leave me out in the open with a vengeful and enraged Vanagloshi to keep me company. What would it do to me? The image of the half-cooked Lara ripping out Madeline's intestines burned in my thoughts. Somehow I knew that the Vanagloshi would do worse, a lot worse. Then came the nastiest doubt of all. What if this had all been for nothing? What if the traitor escaped while I flailed around here? What if the politics of power meant that Morgan would pay the price for Lafortier's death despite everything? God, I really wanted that cold beer and a good book. Don't screw this up, I whispered to myself. Don't screw it up. A skinwalker passed in front of the empty cottage doorway, and a second later he dragged Thomas into line between the doorway and me. I lifted my right hand, focusing my will and aligning my thoughts, while the constantly shifting numbers and formulae of force calculation went spinning through my head. I suddenly spread my fingers and called,
Forzari!
Something approximately the same size and shape as the blade of a bulldozer went rushing across the ground between my brother and me, tearing up earth and gravel, root and plant. The unseen force dug into the earth an inch beneath Thomas, hammered into his unmoving form, and ripped him free of the Vanagloshi's grip. He went tumbling over 10 feet of ground to the doorway and struck his head savagely on the stone wall framing the door as he went through. Had his head flopped about with a lethally rubbery fluidity after the impact? Had I just broken my brother's neck? I let out a cry of agony and chagrin. At the same time, the skinwalker whirled to face me, crouched, and let out a furious roar that shook the air all around, sending drops of water that had beaded upon the leaves of the trees, raining to the earth in a fresh shower. That roar held all the fury of a mortally offended, maniacal ego, and promised a death that could only be described with the assistance of an encyclopedia of torments, a thesaurus, and a copy of Grey's Anatomy. The Vanagloshi, in my crystalline memory of the recent past, and the one standing in front of me in the here and now, both rushed at me, huge and unstoppable, determined to hit me from either side and rip me to shreds. And suddenly, I did not care that this creature was a foe on par with any number of nightmares I would never dare to trade blows with. I did not care that I was probably about to die. I saw Kirby's still form in my head. I saw the small, broken figure of Andy in her hospital room. I saw my brother's wounds. Remembered the agony the thing had caused me when I'd seen it through my sight. This creature had no place here. And if I was to die, I was not going to go out in a gibbering heap of terror. If I was to die, it wouldn't happen because I was half crippled with fear and sight trauma. If I was to die, it was going to be a bloody and spectacular mess.
Bring it!
I screamed back at the Vanagloshi, my terror and rage making my voice sharp and high and rough. I cupped my right hand as if preparing to throw a baseball, drew up my will, and filled my palm with scarlet fire. I thrust out my left hand and ran my will through the shield bracelet hanging there, preparing a defense. And as I did, I felt the power of the land beneath my feet, felt it spreading out around me, drawing in supportive energy. Bring it! Bring it, you dickless freak! The Nagloshi's form shifted from something almost human to a shape that was more like that of a gorilla, its arms lengthening, its legs shortening. It rushed forward, bounding over the distance between us with terrifying speed, grace, and power, roaring as it came. It was also vanishing from sight, becoming one with the darkness as its veil closed around it, utterly invisible to the human eye. But Demon Reach knew where Shagnasty was, and so did I.